Well, we are in Matthew chapter 5. No big name except for Matthew chapter 5. We're in part 4 today. And today we're going to be talking about divorce, adultery, and swearing.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Would you pray together with me as we begin today's message? Lord, thank you again for another opportunity to get into your Word. And Lord, thank you that we can love you, and thank you for your love to us. And we ask, God, that you would just open our hearts up as we begin to study your Word today. Lord, you've been teaching us from your sermon there in Matthew chapter 5, and we're asking that you would just continue to help us open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our understanding. Holy Spirit, give us your understanding and your wisdom. And Lord, let me be able to bring forth your Word accurately, and Lord, yet that we would understand that. We thank you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are in Matthew chapter 5, and we have been in a series that has been on that, and it's no big name except for Matthew chapter 5. We're in part 4 today, and today we're going to be talking about divorce, adultery, and swearing. Now, it may not be the swearing that you think about, but we're going to be talking about these things today. I know when Brother Rick looked at the title, he said, oh my, here we go. Difficult subject to really get into our hearts. In Matthew chapter 5, we've been digging into this, but God has been working on us as a people of God that he has called to be separated unto him. In other words, God is saying, when I chose you as my son or as my daughter, I chose you not to leave you the same, but to change you and to work in that which is to my glory. And so God oftentimes is working on us. How many of you God has worked on this week? Okay. Your hands are raised. God has been dealing with us, and how do we know that we're the sons of God? By God dealing with us. If God didn't care about you, he wouldn't deal with you. And oftentimes, you know, kids, as you're growing up, you guys teenagers back there, you with me? How many of you like to be disciplined? Wow, I cannot believe it. They raised their hands, right? You like being disciplined. Okay. John, get with it. All right? Okay. All right? I know I didn't like being disciplined. But being disciplined meant that your parents actually love you. And when you were told, no, you're not going to go there, and you throw your own little fit, you know, why? Why? Everybody else is doing it. Why can't I do it? Right? And there's a purpose for it. There's a reason for it. God loves us, and that's why he's telling us no in so many cases. I'll just tell you this little story. I can tell you this now because when I was a teenager, just got my driver's license. Okay. Caleb, I understand you just got your driver's license. Congratulations. Everybody look out. Okay? All right. I'm kidding. All right. Wow, it's amazing. Watch these kids grow up. Wow, you got your driver's license already. I had just gotten mine, and I wanted to drive 2.5 hours away to go on a date. Up over a mountain ridge and back down, and my mother said, absolutely not. You are not doing that. How many moms would say that? Okay? Your son just got your driver's license. So, I did the most likely thing that I could do. I waited for my dad to get home and ask him. And believe it or not, my dad said, "That's okay with me." And Mom was not happy, I can tell you that. As it ends up, I drive and I do the 2.5 hour drive. I go pick up this girl. She spends a whole night with someone, another guy. And then I take her home. And I don't get home till 1 o'clock in the morning in Tucker. It is foggy and I can't see 5 feet in front of me. And I'm going slow and I'm thinking, wow, my mother's going to be waiting up for me when I get home. And she was not. She went to sleep. And she said, "I told you not to go." But there was reason for that. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't have been protected. And God looks and God does these things and He teaches us His Word for a specific reason, because it is good for us. Amen? And He wants us to change. Wants our attitudes to change. And so today we're going to be talking about these three things in just a few verses here. Matthew chapter 5, if you'll jump in there with me. Verse 31 is where we will begin at. And again, part 4 here. Jesus said, "It has been said, whoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say to you that whoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." Now, as we look into these verses here, and hopefully we're going to get down to verse 37, but these two verses deal with a subject that is dear to God's heart, something called marriage. Now, in today's world, that's not a big thing. They figure, well, hey, if it doesn't work out, we'll just divorce and go find someone else and marry them. But according to what God's heart is, He finds that marriage is something that He has done and that He ordains. And I want to take a look at that back in Genesis chapter 2 and why Jesus was talking about this. And oftentimes when you go to a wedding, you may hear these words. But there is a reason for these words, and it's because it is near to God's heart. Genesis chapter 2. And verse 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So, who created this whole business of marriage? God did, because God said it is not good for the man to be alone. Now, it's amazing to me as men and women get married and they read the scripture and I counsel them and they say, "This is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. It's not good for a man to be alone. That's why I'm getting married." And then the day or the week after they're married, they say, "What do you mean it wasn't good, God? What did you do with this man or this woman that you gave me?" How do I know that? Because the day after Laura and I were married, she wasn't talking to me. Anybody been there before? Come on, you folks that are out there that are married. Lance and Heather, you've never dealt with that, I know, right? Right? We all have. Because that's something that, you know, we're so in love, and then we get married, and then all of a sudden we begin to see the differences between each other. But God did that for a reason as well. He did that for us to grow one in another, and for this cause, God did this, and it was God's idea for marriage. Ephesians chapter 5. Hold your place there in Matthew, but go over to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And again, these are scriptures that you hear. And I love the Word of God. And I use this often in marriage. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and his bones. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two will be one flesh. Pulling again that scripture out of Genesis. But then he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. What was God's idea? Marriage with a man and a woman, and then marriage in the church. How many of you know we are considered the bride of Christ? The church is the bride of Christ. Marriage was instituted by God. And for our own goods. Now, going back to Matthew here, what Jesus said, he said, you have heard that it was said, whoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Now, what is Jesus talking about here? Well, it appears that what was happening in the Jewish culture and still is today, is that man changes God's rules. God said it was good. It was his idea of marriage. But then man changes the rules, Tucker. You ever play a basketball game where somebody changes the rules? Mm-hmm. But the rules are always changed to benefit the one that is changing them. And so, what these Pharisees were doing is that they were saying, it is okay to divorce. As a matter of fact, they were taking a scripture. And they based that scripture out of Deuteronomy chapter 24. And so I want you to see this. Just kind of giving you some history here of why Jesus was saying this to these folks. Deuteronomy chapter 24. Verses 1 through 5. When a man has taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. This is the verse that these Pharisees were using. Basically saying, well, Moses said we could do it. Moses said, right here, and they were pointing out, we could do this. There's only one thing that they were missing in this verse. And that is, if she find no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her. Now, what they were taking this to mean was, well, you know what? I don't like the way that she cooks my food. She burns my food all the time. Therefore, I'm writing her a bill of divorcement. I don't like the way that she cleans my clothes. You're out of here, woman. I don't like this. I don't like the way that she talks to me. And today we have all of these things as reasons for divorces. Anybody want to take a guess what the divorce rate is nowadays? It's right up there around 60 to 70%. of marriages that take place and then they divorce. And most of the time, it is something that the courts recognize as irreconcilable differences. Basically, that Jesus is bringing this out. He said there are reasons for divorce, but what they were missing here is that this word actually for uncleanness doesn't mean, well, I don't like something about her. I don't like the way she does this. I don't like the way he does that. I don't like it. I don't like it. What's the common word that you're hearing right there? I don't like it. It's not to my liking. But what this actually meant, why Moses said you could give her a bill of divorcement, is because of finding some uncleanness in her. That word here, actually, better definition of uncleanness would mean indecent exposure or immorality with another. So the word uncleanness meant that if you took a wife and found out that she was cheating on you and or exposing herself to another and or in today's society, and Jesus says if that happens, or in the case of infidelity or adultery, there was a cause for divorce. But I want to continue on here because this is quite interesting here. And when she has departed out of his house, she may go to another and to be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it to her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. See, God had specific rules about this and why divorce should take place. But you can't just continue to do this, because God says that'll be an abomination to me and it'll cause the land to sin. But now, a lot of men would like this rule. You ready for verse 5? When a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home for 1 year and shall cheer up his wife that he has taken. How many men would like that? You don't have to work that whole first year, right? You'll be free of any business, any charge, anything that you needed in your home, free of charge. Isn't that an interesting rule here that God made? I wonder why we didn't keep to that, John. So the man might stay at home and cheer up his wife. You know what? God had specific reason for that, because it was a time for them to bond together and a time for them to talk with each other, a time for them to bond as husband and wife. What would happen if we had that rule today? And how much we would see happening instead of man and a woman getting married, then all of a sudden each one's doing their own thing. And then that develops, of course, my, and it's not ours. And God has specific reasons for this. So, Jesus talks about this exact same thing back in Matthew again, and I want you to jump over there. And this is over again in Matthew chapter 19, how important this was to Jesus and teaching this concept, because marriage was so important. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 3, and the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Notice how they twisted that again. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that which was made at the beginning, He made them male and female, and he said, for this cause a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they will be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain but one flesh. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And they said unto him, well, why then did Moses give us a writing of divorcement to put her away? And he said unto them, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, Moses did. From the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, commits adultery. And whoever committeth, is married that which is put away, her that is put away, committeth adultery. I want all of us to understand the importance of marriage here. And especially young people. In today's world, marriage means nothing to so many people. But according to God's heart, marriage is a commitment that He has designed for life. And we're blessed today in our society that we get to choose who we marry. In Western society, in this society, the parents chose who you would marry. Would you like that? No. The parents chose. And marriages were set up by the parents. And oftentimes they did not even meet until the wedding day. Now it comes more into focus. A man will leave his father and wife and cleave to his wife, and they'll become one flesh. That's where the year came in, so they could get to know each other. Oh, hello, I'm your husband. Oh, I'm your wife. Let's get to know each other. And do you know what? Love began to develop in the relationship at that point. And so we in our society have things different than the way that it happened there. But again, Jesus is telling them, you cannot divorce for every reason. Now, he did, of course, give the reason of adultery and fornication. And again, that's the same thing that Moses was talking about. The uncleanness, the immorality, the indecent exposure. Jesus said that would be the only reason, according to this scripture, that was talking about. Now, but the question is, does that mean that if there has been adultery, that there has to be a divorce? No. And I want us to get this very clear, because we know that God is a God of forgiveness. And I have seen many marriages where there has been adultery, there has been outside of that marriage relationship with others, and God has done miraculous things and God has healed the marriage. I have seen that. And so oftentimes when that has happened and I have been involved in counseling, I am going to say, let's get this marriage back together, because this is the heart of God. But it takes both to be able to work at that, and it takes time, and it takes God being involved in the relationship. Because without God and without the power of the Holy Spirit, it is very difficult to bring that back together. But Jesus is not saying that a divorce has to happen. He is simply saying that is a reason for divorce. Does everybody understand that God can still do miracles in relationships? Amen? God values marriage. He developed it, and it was His heart. Now, I do want to say something here. So many believers have had a divorce experience in their lives. And things have happened in relationships, past relationships. And the devil wants to come in on a sermon like this and to bring up those old things and say, see, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. But we know that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. One of the things that we do need to understand is that according to God's Word, when God has gotten a hold of us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, does anybody know what that says? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, he has made all things new. See, the devil wants to come and say, you know what? Because you have divorce in your past, you could never be used of God. You could never have a relationship close with Jesus. Look at what you've done. Let me tell you something, folks. Sin is sin. And God is God. And Jesus is Jesus, and He is the one that says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, when we know Jesus, then we begin to work at this and begin to let God work in our relationships and let God develop what He wanted in our relationships. So when people come to me and say, you know what, I think we're going to get a divorce because we just can't get along. One of the things that I'm always going to point to is that I believe in marriage. I believe it because God ordained it and God said, this is my heart. Let's work at getting this back together. Let's work at bringing that back together. That's God's heart. 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said in chapter 6, verse 11, he said, but such were some of you, but you have been washed, you have been clean, you have been justified and sanctified and set apart for the Master's use now. Listen, because we go into this, we're hearing what Jesus says, it's His heart for marriage. It is His heart for marriage, but if we have done those things that Jesus said you shouldn't divorce over, then we come and we ask God to cleanse us and to forgive us and to make us right in His sight. And you know what Jesus does? Does Jesus say, well, you know, I'm going to put it up on the board and remember it just in case I need to bring it up again. Is that what He does? He would violate everything that He said in His Word if He did that. He said, your sins are forgiven and it is wiped off of the chalkboard. Your sins are forgiven. What about the woman that came to Jesus caught in the middle of the act of adultery? What did He say? I'm going to put your name on the list here. Is that what He said? He said, woman, you are forgiven. Go and sin no more. But He began to write in the sand. My question was, how did these Pharisees catch her in the very act of adultery? What were they doing? And He was probably writing all those things in the sand. And one by one, as they saw their names there, they said, I'm out of here, right? God is a God of forgiveness. And I always want to bring a teaching like this with rounding out with the whole counsel of God. He's a God of forgiveness. And He's saying, go and sin no more. Let's change things. Let's work things so that we can be closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness in Christ. Can I say amen? Can you say amen? Amen? There's forgiveness in Christ. The old has passed away. Behold, all things are made new. But the Lord is giving us His heart is for marriage. Now, lastly, I want to cover these last few verses here, 33 to 37. Again, you have heard that it has been said by those of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord your oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Don't swear by earth, for it is God's footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by the head, because you cannot make one hair black or white. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. How many of you ever read that before? All right. So let's clarify what Jesus is talking about here. Now, he's talking about swearing oaths. And if you go back to Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, and we'll just throw that up on the screen here so you can see that. Did I give that one to you, brother?
Yep.
All right. And he's going to get it there. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that came out of his mouth. Now, this is God's word, and God is not backing down from his word that says, when you have made an oath, when you have sworn an oath, you are to keep that oath, especially when it comes to what you have told God that you are going to do. The issue is, when he comes back in Matthew here and he says, you've heard that it is said, you shouldn't do this. What they were doing is they were saying, well, I swear by Jerusalem. I swear by the temple. Or I swear by my head. I swear by something that was God's. These were holy things that they were swearing by, and then taking that lightly, taking that, oh, no big deal. If I say I swear by God, or I swear by Jerusalem, or I swear by the temple, it's okay if I don't do it. Now, let me just make this very clear. God is a God that whatever you say out of your mouth, and when you tell somebody that you are going to do something, do you think it's okay for you just to forget about it and say, well, that made him feel good that I told him that I would do it? No. God expects us to not lie. If we're going to tell someone that we are going to do something, then we ought to do that. Man or woman, child of God, if we are telling somebody that we're doing something, then it is our responsibility to do it. Now, some, on the contrary, love to tell people they will be there, they will do that, they will do that, and they have no intention at all of doing it. You know, one of the saddest things that I have found over the years is that when folks have told me we're having meetings or we're having a gathering, we're having this, and folks tell me, I'll be there, I'll be there, I'll be there, you better believe, you bet your boots I'll be there. And then come time, you know what a number is I've come up to? Oftentimes it's about 20 to 30% that don't show up, that said that they were going to be there. Houston, do we have a problem within the body of Christ? We do. Oh, well, they'll understand. I had something else more important to do than to show up for that. I want to tell you, integrity is something that's very important to God. Integrity of our hearts. And it doesn't matter. You know what happens? Something more exciting comes up that I'm going to go to. Instead of that, even though I told you I would be there, this is better. A man or woman of God needs to show integrity and show up, regardless of whether or not something else came up that was better. Show up, because that's the heart of God. Now, I do understand that if something happens and you broke your leg and you can't be there, or you got really, really sick, that's fine. But so many times even Christians lie about that. Oh, I'm so sorry I couldn't make it. I got sick. I think the heart of God is you know, that's number one here. You perform what you said you're going to perform. But what Jesus is really getting at here is that these folks were swearing by these holy things. He said this ought not to be. And really, today, here's what we hear. It's still happening today. Have you ever heard this? Are you going to be there? Oh, I swear to God I'll be there. Or they make a statement and you say, are you telling me the truth? I swear to God I am. Anybody ever heard anybody say that? And I want you to know what you just did if you said that. And this is what Jesus is getting at. The name of God is holy. And if you have absolutely no intention of keeping what you said, you just condemned yourself by using that holy name of God. And I would recommend that you never say that. Never, ever say that. And that's where Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Stop this whole swearing on God's holiness. It's really important that we understand this. And some people say, well, I don't want to make so-and-so feel bad. They ask me if I want to go to something. Well, I don't want to make them feel bad. Well, look at what you're bringing upon yourself, because as far as what Jesus says here, for whatever is more than these comes of evil. Satan will fuel it. And you might as well say, well, I'm going to step over here to the devil's side. He said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. If someone asks you to go somewhere and you don't want to go, don't make up some kind of excuse and say, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. Just simply say, no, I don't want to go. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Because really what it comes down to is lying. And especially if you say, yeah, I'll be there. And then you don't show up and then you come up, well, they'll take whatever excuse I've got. I want us all to get a hold of this, because God is working on us to become holy people of God, working in us that which is good and what is pleasing to the Lord. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I know all of us at one time or another have tried to be nice to someone because they invite us to go somewhere and we made up some kind of excuse why we couldn't go. Because we want to be nice and we don't want to hurt them. But Jesus says, it's better to let your yes be yes and your no be no than to enter in to possible evil. And Satan's just waiting there. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? There's consequences. But here's the thing. God's very clear about this, letting your yes be yes and your no be no. The heart of God for the people of God is that we do what we say and we're not lying to people. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for your word today. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for just dealing with us. Your heart is very clear about marriage. Your word is very clear that you instituted it. And Father, all of us that are married right now, I pray for our marriages, and I pray, God, that you would Establish them strong in you. And Father, those that are teetering, I pray that you would work a mighty work to bring them together. And Lord, those that we know that are teetering on divorce, we ask God that you would just work in their lives and work in this marriage. Father, I thank you for your word right now. And I thank you for dealing with us as children. And those things that we have done, Lord, that we're guilty of, I ask that you would forgive us, God. And that we would watch our mouths and what comes out of our mouths to be very clear, to let our yes be yes and our no be no. Father, thanks for this word today. We give you praise in Jesus' name. God's people say, amen and amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.